Hello, welcome to It's Not My Fault, USG Podcast, It's Not Popular, episode 70. My name is Justin.
And I'm Helen.
What up, Helen? How's the cold?
Less cold than it has been, but there's supposed to be more cold on the way.
Yay. It was, like, really nice today. It was great. Got a chance to go to the museum, got a chance to go buy more stuff I don't really need to put in my room, but I did.
By that, do you mean manga, or do you mean, like, something else?
manga. I brought the weirdly shaped omnibus of Yamada Kun the Seven Witches. Kodansha was originally releasing that, like, single edition, stuff like that, but I don't think it's selling all that well.
Yeah, so, that's why they moved to omnibuses.
They put it in an omnibus, and rather than just... It's just a... And I haven't opened it yet, so I can't really say if, like, if it's in general or whatever. It's just that... You know, like, how omnibuses, they just, like, have the combined number and stuff like that, and it just look like a standard omnibus release. But they have a, but the way Kodansha has it binding, has it binded, like, you can see, like, it has 17 and it has a cutoff, like, and it has 18. So make sure they actually just put together, like, two books into one, like, literally, like, not as a whole. Like, you'll see 17, line 18. It's like you stack two volumes together. It's very weird. I'm like, you don't need to add that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because suddenly fans are going to be otherwise like, what happened here?
I don't feel like it's necessary. But I also bought my Solo Exchange Diary, Volume 1. And I also bought all of Spirit Circle.
Yeah, read that good Spirit Circle.
All of Spirit Circle, so it'll be very... I have no idea when I'm going to read it, but I bought all of it. So I'm very much hoping for the best. Mizukami, don't let me down.
I still swear that the ending of Spirit Circle is more emotional than the ending of Planet With. Like, wherever you want to call the most emotional moment to Planet With, like, Spirit Circle is even more so.
I guess I'll find out.
Get your heart ripped out, Justin. Enjoy it.
But outside of that, I've just been, obviously, outside of work, just been trying to read stuff. Like, I've been reviewing, like, there's a couple of reviews that are coming up, and I'll probably talk about one of them a little bit later. But I really just want to talk about some stuff that I'm not reviewing. Like, stuff like, what was it? I recently just finally read some of my backlogs. So like, I bought some Kodansha stuff that I haven't bought, like, I haven't read in, like, forever since I bought it on the cheap. So, like, I read, like, the third volume, Boarding School Juliet, Wake Up Sleeping Beauty. So, just a couple Kodansha stuff. And then I ended up buying the recent volume of Shingo Honda's Creature, which is somehow captivated my attention, despite the fact that I can finish it in less than 30 minutes. It's a very, very intriguing horror manga. Just on the basis of the fact that it literally just puts some regular freaking humans and says, yeah, just a normal, boring people. And all of a sudden, earthquake. Oh, and then all of a sudden we find out there's monsters, and these monsters are freaking terrifying and ugly. Like, jeez. Like,
They're not just terrifying, they're also ugly.
Yeah, they're ugly. Yes, very ugly. And like the sixth volume that I just read, it's even harder to describe. But like, there's this humongous creature with what looks like standard like ugly creature eggs or whatever, shaped on this as a stomach, and it's not just one; it's like many of them on the. It's hard to describe. It's pretty ugly. But I'm here for the ride. I think it's a really good read. And it's like one of the rare media do releases that's actually translated decently and localized decently enough. I guess that's because it's an actually quality title. I don't know.
Yeah, so last episode, after you asked me which one had worse pacing, Karakuri Circus or Record of Grand Crest War, I was thinking, you know, I'm kind of in the mood for some like light fantasy watching. I should finish Record of Grand Crest War. So I've been zooming my way through that. I'm still not quite done yet. But I can now say, Justin, Karakuri Circus has even more condensed pacing than Record of Grand Crest War. I mean, this is just based on my impression, since I know that I haven't read the source material for either of them. Like, I know you were reviewing the Grand Crest War manga, and we're going, holy cow, like, the anime cut out so many things. But the Karakuri Circus, you can feel where you're like, we've skipped over entire arcs, I think. Which is just bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That means lots of characters not included, or maybe lots of
It's like, missing. Here's a character who is now part of our party. Here's a 30-second flashback as to how they joined.
Well, I mean, Grand Crest War has a similar situation. I don't think you caught up. I think they have one later where they introduce a really cool looking character, and then they have a situation where they just show him fighting valiantly. Then they cut to like a map or a different map. Then they go back to this guy, like, oh, I can do it. He's talking. Oh yeah, everything's going good or something like that. It's great. Cut to another map, and we get back to the other guy, and he's dying. Chris Wise still has some issues.
Well, I will give you guys another update once I have finished watching Grand Crest War.
Well, my only question about that, before I even touch upon my Grand Crest War manga experience, is obviously you had issues with it when it was airing initially. What do you think about the series now?
Oh, no, it was just the pacing of the series was irritating me originally, and I was just getting kind of bored with it. And I already had enough on my plate to watch and to do otherwise that I just dropped it. It was more out of a lack of sustained interest rather than the show did something horrible, which I cannot forgive it for, and I'm going to never watch it again.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And I think, what was it, this aired in like the...
Last winter, spring.
Okay, yeah.
Because I remember I was dog sitting this weekend for my aunt and uncle, and I was like, wait a minute. I'm watching Record of Grand Crest War here. I definitely did this exactly a year ago. I was dog sitting for the same aunt and uncle. Definitely still watching Record of Grand Crest War, so.
That's.
But yeah, you've been really surprised at just how different the manga is in some ways. Okay.
It's important to note two things. One, this is the manga was created 3 years after the light novel. So, like, it's probably, and I'm just guessing, I could be completely wrong, and I it's not probably like a one-to-one, but I like to think that the manga is a lot closer to the source material than the anime is.
That's typically my experience with adaptations as well, just since the manga doesn't have, like, a set, you have to finish this in X volumes requirement that anime usually does with number of episodes.
Yeah. So, I read the first two volumes of Grand Crest War. I already had the first review up on the site on theoshi.com, and I do have I'm working on volume 2 right now, so I wrote some stuff for it. It's still in draft state, so I still gotta adjust some things, stuff like that. But I'm just letting you know right now, it is, if you came in from the anime and going straight to the manga, it almost feels like you're reading something completely different. Because it's like, the story beats are about the same. Like, you're watching, like, episode 1. Oh, yeah, the chaos. They're having a wedding and they get attacked by the chaos or whatever. But even just that setup, you're getting it from Silica's perspective. And she's, like, bored. Like, you just see the worst. It's just she's bored. But in the anime, you only see her, like, you only get a shot of her just yawning. So it's like, what? So that's just like one little thing. And then there's like other things that happen where you're like, this really happened? Did this happen this way in the anime? Like the battle between Moreno and Silica it felt tonally different in the manga than the anime. Like obviously, I guess you could say the situation is the same. And that Silica was probably way in over her head. But it even shows like she was weaving way over her head in the manga somehow. It's kind of weird. And also they have like basic dumb manga stuff, like Silica and Ashiela taking a bath. It has all that. That was definitely not in the anime. So it's just like stuff like that, and also stuff like what happens in volume 2, where they actually completely, like, in the anime, there's a character that shows up that's not in volume 2 of the manga. And it was kind of a key scene. It was actually like, wait, hold up. This didn't happen in the anime. wow. So I feel like just reading, if you read and watch the series, it's a really great character, like a great media study of like differing adaptations and stuff like that, and figure out what to trim and what to keep, honestly. But it's still Grand Crest War. I mean, even with the anime flaws, I still really like Grand Crest War. And despite the issues I think I had with the manga, I'm probably going to keep reading the manga. I'm going to try to keep reading and reviewing the manga, for sure.
Yeah, one thing that caught my eye when I was looking up news articles for the podcast this week is that Aniplex of America was talking about how they're going to be releasing Grand Crest War, and, you know, here's their plan. And I was thinking, wow, earlier this week, I started seeing people posting on Twitter that almost every Aniplex of America title is going out of print. Like, if you go to Write Stuff, they've got little notifications up so you can see that Sword Art Online is going out of print. Madoka Magica, Kill la Kill, and some of these volumes are already out of print. So it's kind of weird that Aniplex of America, who is never seemed to be particularly good at actually distributing stuff, and is letting large parts of their back catalog lapse, is still grabbing new stuff. Actually, I don't think they've grabbed anything new in a little while, too. I thought they were trying to divest themselves of that entirely.
Just Black Butler, as far as I remember.
What did they get from Black Butler, since Funimation had that title? Funimation lost that title.
Yeah, they lost the title. Yeah.
As usual, we can never figure out what Aniplex of America is doing.
I have to think this is just some sort of weird error, because
Sword Art Online,
their big moneymaker going out of print.
Do they actually make money off of selling these?
I have to think, like, they still keep, like, they're going to bring Fullmetal Alchemist. They have to think people are buying it or something, because I don't know, stuff like that's super popular like that doesn't really go out of print that fast. And
Sword Art Online's been in print for a while. I mean, the first series came out a number of years ago.
Right, and now they bring over new material from that series.
Obviously I'm not talking about the current Sword Art Online arc or even Gun Gale Online from last year, because those aren't even out in print yet, Justin. I'm talking about, like, the original Season 1, and then I think I saw some stuff for Season 2 as well. Justin, just trust me when I say that Aniplex of America is behaving weirdly again. Just trust me on this.
No, it's just bizarre.
Just trust me.
I just really think it's got to be some sort of dumb error. But that's my thought.
The dumb error is that Aniplex of America thinks they can actually sell stuff. Anyway, so let's get into news then, since I think that's about all that the two of us have been watching and trying out. First up is a story that was still developing the last time we recorded, so I didn't bring it up. But at Anime Los Angeles a couple of weekends back, the convention occurred. And on Sunday night, someone who was a stalker, he was stalking a particular cosplayer, knew she was at the convention, knew what her car looked like, and set her car on fire in the parking lot, and about six other cars also caught on fire. He is in custody. There is some remarkably clear security footage showing very definitely who did this and their attempts. So at least there's a case against him there, but there have been a number of GoFundMes that have popped up since. I did not realize, apparently most car insurance does not cover this jackass set my car on fire. I kind of figured that would be included in your insurance, but I guess not. Yeah, so that's alarming, disturbing, not fun for anybody involved, but thankfully he has been arrested and there is definite evidence that this guy did it. Please find him, put him in jail, whatever you do in this sort of case.
I think I saw the same thing on Twitter, and just from that and what happened after that was just like, what is wrong with people? Like, what know. Really? It's and then I really do hope people that had their cars, like, get lit on fire, that I hope that they can get that resolved somehow, but because that's this is really awful. Like, I was looking it up on Twitter. That was just
Yeah, and it happened at like 1 or 2 in the morning local times. Also, I think 1 or 2 of the hotels had to evacuate because they were worried about the fire spreading. And in case anyone's wondering how so many other cars caught on fire, from the video, it looks like he poured quite a bit of gasoline over the initial car, and some of it had run off down, you know, along the gutters in the parking lot. And I think that's partially how some of the cars caught fire.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed that we do not have any more stories like that for the next, like, 5 years at least.
I just hope, same. Forget 5 years. Let's hope for next 10, 15 years we don't have to hear anything like that, because this is it's really just sad. It really is.
It's terrifying.
And terrifying. And on the next docket, the Infinite Dendrodram light novels involving virtual reality and an MMO is getting an anime. Whee!
And right after that was announced, J-Novel Club went, and hey guys, we're putting it out in print now as well. So J-Novel Club is capitalizing on that sweet anime money that will... I mean, it's not like they're getting funded by the anime or anything, but they're hoping, you know, that those sweet new viewers of the series will be like, oh, I gotta go read this shit now.
Look. This is how you do business and marketing and all that stuff. Yep. Some companies in the industry should learn it. Dark Horse. J-Novel Club's been pretty smart with what they've been putting out in print, like, obviously with In Another World on My Smartphone, How to Not Summon Demon Lord, and they're coming out with another one. Something along those lines about magic. They've been very smart about what they want to put out in print so far. It's definitely gotta have anime. It's definitely gotta be something that will obviously attack a popular fan base. And it sounds like Dendrodram covers that for the most part. Except the fact that I guess the VR MMO aspect is really interesting. That's about it.
Yeah, I do know, speaking of Dark Horse, that I had a number of friends who were honestly astonished that the Wish Omnibus is actually coming out. Like, we're starting to see reviews for it now. And I was telling folks, yeah, we actually got a review copy this time. I'm pretty sure it's actually coming out this time around. They can't take that back.
It's like, it's actually happening, guys. It's hard to believe. But they actually got that out before Udon actually got out anything Rails of Issei or Sugar Sugar Rune related. It's great.
I still want those. Let's see. Oh, and speaking of shows getting anime, or manga, them becoming shows, I'm happy but surprised to see that Inspector is getting an anime. It's a manga series that I like quite a bit. I think it's based off of a novel originally by someone who was involved with Blast of Tempest. I'm blanking right now if they did the manga there as well, if they were the writer attached or something more ancillary. But that's going to be getting an anime, so I'm happy, since I feel like not many people have ever paid attention to this title, and getting an anime is a surefire way for a manga to get, like, at least 10 more people interested in it.
You just say 10. Why can't you just say 30 or 50?
Okay, maybe 30. 50 sounds like a lot, though, Justin.
Jeez. I actually meant to read more of this. I got the first volume from the library and I read it a while ago. Thought it was pretty interesting, honestly. And yeah, I meant to read a bit more of it.
I've got the first couple, but these started coming out when I still didn't have a lot of money to be buying manga all the time. And guess what? Now there's 9 volumes in English, so that's a lot of volumes for me to catch up with, so I keep putting it off. Manga costs add up fast, guys. They really do.
So I don't think a date for this has been announced yet, right?
Nah. I wouldn't be surprised if this didn't come out till early 2020. I mean, maybe it'll come out this fall, but, you know. Gotta give them time to produce everything.
Yeah, you never know. It might come out in the fall. Rumiko Takahashi won the Anglo-American Grand Prix 2019 prize, and just so I know this has the history of it. Okay, maybe not. All right.
So the French really like comics.
Yeah, that is one thing to say. This is a French manga award, and they've been announcing, this has been a long, obviously, from the 49 part. It's been a long thing. 2019. This has been a long. Well, actually, I take that. Okay, it's 1974. It's been a long thing that they've awarded like comic artists and stuff like that from countries throughout the world. So this is a pretty big honor. And I think it's finally great that Rumiko Takahashi's getting her due, personally.
Yeah, like, since she just got the Eisner last year. For recognition of just how many American and other Western comic artists she has influenced, because the number is huge.
Yeah, so this is pretty great, personally. So, big year for her. Big year. Got Usei Yatsura coming out soon. Pretty big year.
And it also means that she has the option of being, like, the honorary marshal at the next year's awards ceremony, which I think is pretty cool.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
No, Rumiko Takahashi.
No, she's a marshal. What would she be doing?
I mean, you know, it's just sort of an honorary position. You're probably presenting awards, hosting it, stuff like that. Gotcha. It's like an honorary guest.
Gotcha.
Justin.
Gotcha. I'm sorry.
Justin sometimes has to ask me what the weirdest words mean, guys. I'll put a word in my review, and he's like, well, I had to Google that.
I know so much, but then I'm like, I know so little when I discover that twi is really a word.
Twi is a very useful word. It's a word that's very condescending without sounding it like it.
That's why it was in Urban Dictionary. That's why.
I assure you, it is not a kind of word that would have originated in Urban Dictionary.
Sure, Helen. Sure.
Anyway, and then... Well, Bloom and You already got an anime adaptation. So this news is that the manga is now getting a stage show, which I think is kind of cool since a lot of the plot result in the first anime and the parts of the manga I've read has revolved around the student council is going to be putting on a play. Now we need to figure out what the play is. You know, why is the play so important to some of the characters like Nanami, you know, all that jazz. So I just thought that was kind of meta. And it would be really fun if they were actually performing the play within the play. Don't know if they'll do that. Don't know how far it's going to cover. But still, very cool to see some Yuri manga continuing to get opportunities to embiggen, you know, spread their influence.
Just
take
being
over the world.
Adapted. More. Just be adapted. Like, there's just not that much. Like, you compare it to everything else, it's still pretty low. What did you eat yesterday? Which is Fumi Yoshinaga's manga. It's getting a live action TV series. Yep. It's getting a live action TV series. This is being published by Vertical. I think it's been published for a while by Vertical, actually.
Yeah, it has been. I get the impression the sales also haven't been quite where they'd want them to, so hopefully this gives them a little more attention. Except dramas never streamed in the US, so they
yeah,
don't have the same
so I don't know about
like
that.
An anime would.
Well, I guess it's doing. I'm gonna. It's on its 13th volume here, so I mean, maybe it's doing well enough. I don't know, but yeah, it's not quite like an anime, and because we don't have like a big drama, as far as I know, we don't have that quite a big drama base compared to like anything else. Like
that's more because they've just never been licensed as much. Like K-dramas have gotten kind of huge to the point where Drama Fever shut down because effectively they couldn't continue to afford the licensing fees. Like K-dramas were getting so popular that bigger and bigger players were getting into the game who could pay larger and larger licensing fees. You know, something we've seen happen in anime as well, to the point where Drama Fever, which was the only place I had ever even seen K-dramas before, had to shut down because of it.
Right.
So I think there definitely is an audience for dramas, but it's kind of like Japanese music in general. It's just always been harder to get it licensed over here. Just people, old-fashioned people, just not understanding how this internet thing works.
But yeah, hey, maybe just getting a TV series might help. What did I eat yesterday? Who knows?
Oh, and speaking about the internet and how it works, so we all know that when you read like pirated weekly Shonen Jump scans or anything like that, ones with a quick, extremely quick turnaround, that there is somebody in Japan who is supplying those manga scans and stuff like that. Like for some scanlators, you'll find folks who have like, you know, they'll order the books once they come out and have them shipped overseas. But a lot of times there are Japanese fans involved in this.
Yeah.
And so the Osaka District Court handed down a guilty verdict about a week ago to three administrators of the Haruka Yume no Auto leech site. The charges were on copyright infringement. And the idea is that this website didn't necessarily host illegal manga scans, etc., but it did aggregate and provide hyperlinks, so people were easily able to find it on there. So kind of like, you know, a directory of links almost. And so these folks have gotten three different prison sentences. 3 years and 6 months. 3 years and 2 months. And... oh no, 3 years and 6 months. 3 years and 2 years and 4 months. So I'm not sure if one guy was more senior than the other two. But that is a fairly serious thing. I mean, going to jail for 3 years because you told folks where they could find some illegal manga. I mean,
yeah,
folks should not be doing that.
It's pretty serious. And obviously Japan's been trying to, I think in the past couple of years, try to crack down more on this. I think we went over what happened with the YouTube thing with Ushima and the Lone Shark, I think, right? When I think... Shogakukan won that verdict where YouTube had to tell them, or YouTube had to tell who was posting Ushishima the Lone Shark stuff online. Look, there's been a couple other stuff over the years where I guess Japan's just like trying to crack down more on that as best they can. So yeah, this is pretty significant news. Significant news just in the fact that they're giving these harsh sentences, so you would think that would discourage people from trying to acquire these illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It probably won't, because people are risky and they think they can get away with it. So,
yeah, and continuing on from the ANN article on this, the Association for Copyright for Computer Software estimated that the cost of damages from just this one site was $640 million, which is quite a bit of lost sales. And it sounds like the Japanese government is trying to just legally block leech sites, like just to write it into law, and that they've had some telecommunications groups start blocking these, but it looks like a local prefecture filed a case against companies for blocking these sites. So this sounds a little... It's got shades of the net neutrality arguments we've got in the U.S., but in a very different way. So anyway... I'll be following this as best as I can in English as it plays out over probably a couple of years, since we know how slow legislation is.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a while before we really get to see how it's going to go, about. And then the last bit of news, I think this was the biggest, probably the biggest news of this past couple of weeks in the industry. MediaDo acquiring MyAnimeList. MediaDo, this is not the US branch, this is the Japanese branch that is an ebook and distribution holder of a bunch of different manga titles from different companies. They pretty much know all the companies in Japan. But there's like two sides to this, personally. The first is the fact that Dana is giving this up. Like, they acquired this in 2015.
DNA?
Okay.
I think it's DN Anime or something along those lines.
Well, I don't know about...
Otherwise, we are talking about the stuff in ourselves.
Okay, DENA. I'm just going to say that. Yeah. the point is, they've only basically had it for, like... Like, they acquired it from the original owner, and then they've only, I guess, had it for... Not even sure it's really four whole years or whatever, but they've had a while. It's not for that long, and now all of a sudden they gave it up. So it makes you wonder what type of business they're. It's like, where are they going here? Think Crystalina. I'm not sure if it's this. I think it's this. Great, my memory is failing me, but I think it's this week that Crystalina is talking about that. So there should be an article involving this acquisition on theoishi.com. from my perspective, like, yeah, it's, I don't know, I found this a little interesting that Dana is just giving up Miami list. I don't know if it's just because of the issues they had last year where they had a big security issue where they had to, like, and that's kind of one of the reasons, the security issue is one of the reasons why I just ended up moving over to Anime Planet, because it was pretty bad. Because they were very vague about it, too. Like, they couldn't really, they didn't say much about it, and then they would just occasionally tweet very cryptically about what was happening. So it was just like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. So I don't know if that's an issue or if they're just moving on to other things. Like, I know they're probably more like into games and stuff like that. So maybe that's,
I mean, they could have just decided that my anime list wasn't profitable enough for them.
And that too, that is also an option. Lots of things, I guess. But yeah, it's definitely curious. I guess the ultimate thing is it's curious that they're leaving.
Although you were telling me before the podcast that someone had acquired it recently, but 4 years ago isn't recently.
Well, no, well, I mean, I guess in general, it feels like it was recent. Like,
yeah, but four years ago is not recently, Justin.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. My bad.
Our country was not a hellhole 4 years ago.
Okay, I guess just the fact that they gave that somebody else is acquiring it now. I don't know, just feels a little weird. But then also, into number two, you just wonder what MediaDo is actually going to do with this.
Try to make money off of it.
Oh, outside of that, are they finally going to have a proper website where we actually know what titles are coming out for them? That's what I'm curious about. What else does it signify? Are they doing other things? Just a bigger thing? Who knows? So we're definitely curious as to what they're going to do with My Anime List from this point forward. I don't think in like the press release they said much outside this fact that they're going to enhance the manga catalog or whatever, like enhance the manga store or something like that, something along those lines. So yeah, it's something to definitely keep an eye on for, because they're probably going to look to be doing some stuff in the industry.
And speaking of the industry, let's go to the licensing roundup, which I totally thought we'd gotten away these past 2 weeks without any licenses, but you found some anyway.
Yes, I personally found two. But the first two that I'm going to go over, I guess I'm going to go over. A Silent Voice. We can finally stop asking about it not being licensed, because Shout Factory licensed it. Took you guys long enough, I guess.
Yes, it did.
Like, true story. I went to see A Silent Voice at Anime New York City, and one of the very first things the crushers asked, please do not ask about distribution for this title, because we don't know. Now we can stop asking. So somebody, it's been licensed. I don't think it's an official date for it. Like, I think Amazon listed as April 2nd, but it's not quite official, because I think Right Stuff also, there's links for it on Right Stuff, but they don't have a date for it, so who knows when it's going to exactly come out, but it's coming out. And then the other announcement involves Viz, obviously deciding that they had to bring over more Dragon Ball stuff. So, got to bring over the visual history of Akira Toriyama's master franchise. So, more Dragon Ball in the fall. Big art book, I guess. Yeah, I think this is a big, art book. Bunch of visual stuff from the series. I think fans are probably going to love it. Boom. And then, go ahead.
Let's see. And Dark Horse is bringing over Star Blazers 2199 in omnibus form, which confused me at first since I hadn't realized that there was a manga adaptation of it. I was thinking, wait a minute, Funimation's got this. So this is yet another series for folks to get their hearts broken over when Dark Horse fails to provide it with an adequate release schedule.
Yeah, like for starters, they haven't even, like, it's crazy. You think about that. They announced Elfen Lied, they announced E-Manon, and apparently never announced at any convention they had Star Blazers.
I mean, do they go to that many conventions?
I mean, they go to Otakon. They've gone to like Otakon and New York City New York Comic Con, so they go to enough conventions. They even go like Emerald City. Like, they do conventions. I get the emails about them going to conventions. They do them.
I mean, Emerald City makes sense since that's a traditional Comic-Con, and Dark Horse does much more than just manga. They do more traditional Americomi.
Yeah, yeah. They're obviously a traditional publisher, comic publisher. Manga is just, like, I guess their side thing, personally. But, I don't know. I just feel like something like that, I shouldn't actually find it on, like, my usual sources, but I did. I don't know that I ended up finding on my usual, just scrolling through Amazon or whatever, is Fanfare Ponamon is going to bring over Mojiro Taniguchi, Tendotaka Skyhawk, which is going to come out in the, I think it's in the summer, it's slated to come out. As far as I know, they don't really have, like, any social presence, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think a, well, maybe they do, but they're more of, again, just like Dark Horse, they're more of like a traditional publisher, comic publisher, so who knows when they were announced or not. I don't think they really announced, like, stuff like that. Like, I think you had to find out on your own. Like, there's a Jiro Taniguchi manga coming out.
And we all know how much the world pays attention to manga anyway, so people will probably not find out.
I think manga is...
Manga's redheaded stepchild in the family.
Yeah. It's crazy how much it does better, it feels like, but some places don't want to acknowledge it yet.
Let's see, and that's actually the end of the main part of the podcast. We're just keeping it kind of short this week, except, oh, hold on, what is this? It's a lot of weird news.
Lots of weird freaking news. The last one is a weirdly weird one, but we'll get to that last one in a bit.
Yeah, so... many anime will have, you know, little special events going on, you know, when the series is airing or when it's just finished airing to keep attention up, you know, all that jazz. Which makes all the ones that Cells at Work do just kind of weird, since they're literally about cells fighting disease. So I saw the headline for this one, Cells at Work anime brings influenza event to Laguna 10 Bush theme park. And I was like, influenza event? That's not something I want to attend. I get shots to prevent... prevent myself from attending this event.
This really sounds on brand for a series, though.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely works in this series, but when I just saw the headline, I was like, wait a minute. Who wants to go to that?
Yay, time to get influenza. Yeah, I don't know about that one. there's a big Rooster Teeth title that came out this weekend, Gen Lock. Just a pretty... I think I saw a bit of the cast list. It has a pretty crazy cast. I think Maisie Williams is on this. There was a Japanese... I think the Japanese voice actor for Cowboy Bebop, Spike, I think, was on it. I could be wrong on that last one, but I know there was a Cowboy Bebop actor that's voicing this series. But then for this week, we would have Michael B. Jordan, who's also a voice actor on the show. And he ended up just having a discussion, just talking about how he got into anime and stuff like that. That's basically what this was. And I get the general part was how anime inspired his Creed 2 performance. But I've only seen Creed, the first Creed. So I can't really say for sure, like, how much or whatever. But I feel like the past, like, year, people have been noticing just how much he has anime on his sleeve, like, with his design, like, his character in Black Panther.
Definitely looked like Killmonger. He was doing a Vegeta
cosplay. Yeah. And then in this, he was just talking about stuff like how he got into anime, I was set in morning cartoons, nothing crazy, like his favorite anime villain, stuff like that. I guess that was kind of neat. I have no idea if Genlock is any good, but it's definitely at least interesting from a, wow, you got a bunch of people. Where are you getting the money from?
I'm still not entirely sure what it is since I just started seeing ads for it this weekend, but I'm a little too busy to find out. I'll have to wait for some other folks to review it.
Yeah, I think we'll probably, I mean, I already have enough to watch and read. Like, I got to catch up to stuff. Well, not too much catch up to the anime because I'm not that far behind, but work has kicked my butt this past weekend, so gonna need to catch up this week.
Oh, and while I've heard of Michael B. Jordan, I've also heard of Naomi Osaka. She is a tennis player. She's a very good tennis player.
She just She just won, by the way, the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she beat Serena Williams earlier last year, which is how I first heard about her. And Serena Williams is just probably the greatest tennis player that has ever lived, so it was very impressive. And Naomi Osaka is Japanese. She's half black, I think. But
Haitian, or shoot. I think I saw some, actually, I think it's in this article. Let me pull it up. So she's half Jap. Eventually I'll figure out my computer settings. All right, there we go. Half Haitian, yep. She's half Haitian and half Japanese.
Mm-hmm. So the point is, she definitely looks black, you know, in her skin tone. She's got very nice natural hair, etc. And, you know, since she is now, you know, this internationally famous superstar, she's getting pulled into doing ads. And so Nissan Cup Noodles did an animated ad with her in there, but she looked really white. Like, she did not look like herself at all. They changed her hair texture, her skin color. And I put this in the weird news because it's like, guys, how did you think you were going to get away with this? It looks nothing like her. Like, who looked at this and went, this is fine, let's approve it and put it out?
Did they just take, because apparently I think the creator, Prince of Tennis, created the designs for Osaka. And I think another character, Kei Nishikori. And I was like, was this a mandate by the creator? What is happening here?
Yeah, I don't know. But they have since pulled that ad because there has been enough backlash against it. I don't think that Naomi Osaka has said anything publicly, but we both know that celebrities aren't always in a position where they can say, hey, no, suck it, stop doing that.
Yeah.
She deserves better than that ad, though.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to... I doubt they'll bring it back, but if they do, they better just... Like, seriously, just do it right. Come on.
Yeah, maybe they'll just wait for everything to die down and then bring the ad back again.
Well, I think they... Oh, wait, if not mistaken, I think they have a deal with her management, so we'll see how that works out.
Oh, and this one also falls into my sphere of interest. Oh god, I'm not going to pronounce this right, but I'm going to try. Evgenia Medvedev, she is a Russian ice skater. You guys have probably seen her from her greatest hits as I Dressed Up Like Sailor Moon during an ice skate, and I got to meet the creator afterwards. She is a very good ice skater. I think she's probably second in the Olympics and only lost to, like, a fellow Russian competitor, but she's a very good ice skater and a known avowed weeb. And so she was ice skating as Homura in a new Madoka Magica commercial. It's for the game Magica Record. And there's another ice skater with her who's ice skating as Madoka. But I just thought this was perfectly on brand for her. You know, this is just the perfect way for her to hopefully get paid for being a professional ice skater, Weeaboo.
It's incredible. There's these athletes nowadays just letting it all be known what they love. It's great. It's fantastic. Yes, if you haven't heard about her, yeah, she's definitely been a story the past couple years, right? I feel like it's been a couple years we've heard of her name.
Yeah, I think she did the Sailor Moon exhibition skate before Yuri on Ice, but then after Yuri on Ice, like, people definitely were seeing her excitedly tweet about it, so... Because everybody loves Yuri on Ice. I'm so excited. Apparently, they did, like, a little special event in Japan where they showed, like, a minute of footage from the new movie, and I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for this to come out. I need Yuri and Ice back in my life.
You know what I need back in my life?
Sunshine?
Helen?
Not winter?
Marchin Madchen. Actually, not really.
But, I was going to say, did you even watch that? Because I tried the first episode. I didn't think you did.
I did. In fact, I think I watched up to episode 3 and then just tailed off of it for a bit. And then my plan was, yeah, I'm going to catch up to this show. But then it got into a delay. And then they said, oh, we're going to not have all the episodes because we're really having massive issues animating this and everything. Okay, I guess I'm going to wait and not catch up to this. So I want to make sure I get this right because guess what? The last two episodes, after it was initially delayed, got delayed again.
This might be the third delay. This might not this might just be like second, third
delay. 50th delay that we don't even know about personally. But, So, yeah, the official website announced Tuesday that the 11th and 12th episodes were delayed again due to circumstances. So it was supposed to come out this past December, but now it's going from April to later. That's very vague, first of all. So yeah, we don't know when it's coming out. It's kind of crazy. This has been like, I don't think there's been this many. There's probably been anime before that's had issues, obviously, due to obviously production schedule and stuff like that, overwork, everything. But I feel like Martin Madsen is this is definitely the most recent high profile one for sure. It's crazy.
Yeah, to be clear, ANN provides a summary of the story thus far. The television anime premiered on January 11, 2018. The anime's 9th and 10th episodes were delayed to March 22nd and March 29th, respectively, in order to improve the animation quality. The show in those time slots rebroadcast the first two episodes. And so that means that, you know, they didn't have time to broadcast the last two. So the official website then reported in last March that the fate of the anime's 11th and 12th episodes will be announced as soon as they are decided. Which is certainly an ominous way of putting it.
It really is.
And so, to be clear, that these episodes should have aired almost a full year ago, and they still haven't been finished yet. And it's like, I know that the Sakuga Buro blog did a write-up, you know, talking about what the hell happened here, and indicating that there was some upper staff who are just completely mismanaging the product and project and making everybody miserable. But still, this is rather excessive. I can't recall the last time I've seen a TV series have episodes like this delayed so badly without, like, I don't know, a natural disaster happening.
Yeah.
I mean, we know of some shows where, like, an episode or two has been delayed because national disaster happened. We're having some trouble here. But this is just of their own making.
Like, I think we had, like, with Attack on Titan, at least the first season, like, they would just have, like, random either recap episodes or, if I'm not mistaken, like a delay, something like that. Because we know, like, the first season of Attack on Titan had some issues while it was going on, for sure. But nothing of this level, for sure.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, like,
and some of the episodes that they delayed and then put out, like episodes 9 and 10, those looked pretty bad.
The TV ones, right?
The TV ones, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think I've seen any screenshots for what the Blu-ray corrections look like.
But if I saw anything,
it is ringing a bell. Again, it would have been on the Sakuga Buro blog, since they do a lot of write-ups on production disasters.
Yeah. I know it definitely it was definitely fixed for, like, the first either couple episodes or something like that. I know that for sure, but for others, obviously it's not out. I don't think it's out yet. So, we might be talking about Martian Mansion in 2020, Helen.
No, there are many things I don't want to talk about in 2020, and that's one of them.
Yeah, that's probably, at this pace, it's going to be one of them.
Damn it.
I don't even know if I really want to pick it back up again. I mean, it was an okay show. It wasn't really anything spectacular.
Does this show bring you joy, Justin?
Did you just ask me if a show brought me joy?
Yeah. Marie Kondo is really topical right now, so I thought I'd work in a reference. Come on, Justin, you're the one who's even reviewed her manga. Listeners,
Do we have any other topics on this podcast? No, we don't. I think it's time to figure out if anything else sparks joy outside of our lives.
My brother's cat sparks joy. I have him send me many pictures of them. Listeners, I can't tell if Justin's internet is broken again or if I'm stuck in the silence. Out.
You can totally listen to the OSG podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, add it to your feed, Leary, or whatever RSS feed you got. You can kind of at me, @Kami_Nomi on Twitter. And I guess Merchant Madsen sparks little joy with me.
Probably a good time to give it up then. Spend your time in more productive ways, like watching more Detective Conan, I guess.
I don't even know if it was on this week. It probably was, because I think it took a break last week, but I don't know.
And if you guys want to see me ramble on, occasionally post screenshots from whatever manga I'm reading, you can find me on Twitter @WanderingDreamer. And you can also find me on the other podcast I host, Manga in Your Ears, which is, you can find on Twitter at Manga in Your Ears. Our website is currently down a little bit. There's been some issues with the hosting, but it should be back up really soon. And then we're also going to get off our butts and actually record a new episode. We've been taking it easy over the holidays.
So you're saying the holidays got you Dyson put in vacation mode, didn't it?
More along the lines of we were just sort of like, guys, I'm sorry, I forgot to read. I had stuff come up. I totally forgot about the time when I'm going to the Naoki Urasawa event in LA, and I can't record this. Yeah, I'm very jealous of Corey right now.
I hate all the people that actually went there.
I'm so jealous.
If it's even possible, if it's even possible to hate anybody, it's definitely people who went to the Naoki Urasawa event and just
so they do not spark joy in your life.
Treated their thoughts, and they definitely do not spark joy. Corey, you do not spark joy. you do not spark joy. I think it's Zandra. You don't spark joy either. Anybody else I know that follows me that went to the Urasawa event and tweeted at all their pictures or even put it up on Facebook or whatever. I don't even know that they have Facebook or whatever, but they put it up there. They don't spark joy. Boom.
All right, guys, I think we better call it a night
then. Is this a part where I'm salty? Does this sound like I'm salty? No? This isn't it, right?
Bye, y'all.
Bye. I'm so salty. Whoa.